Okay, I'd like to convene the conference committee for House File 1671, the first budget balancing bill. And Senator Cohen and I will be co-chairing, and tonight we'll probably be switching the chair back and forth some between the two of us. What we have, we're going to do some introductions so that people in the audience know who all the conferees are in case they don't. Then we'll be hearing from Commissioner Tom Hansen, and then Bill Marks and Matt Mousman will be walking us through the fiscal side, and then we'll be hearing with a general overview, and then we'll be hearing from the fiscal staff relative to the articles in the bill that they staff. They'll be giving us a more detailed walkthrough through their sections. So we'll begin with introductions. Senator Cohen.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dick Cohen, Chairman of the Senate Finance, and glad to be with you again.
And you represent part of St. Paul.
And I do. That's correct.
Okay, let's just go down the table, including staff.
Matt Mossman, Senate Fiscal Staff.
Peter Watson, Senate Counsel.
Kim Bevin, Senator Cohen's office.
Nicole Kaplan, Senator Cohen's office.
Senator Jim Vickerman, I chair the Ag and Veterans Committee, and I live in Southwestern Minnesota.
Steve Murphy, Red Wing.
Linda Higgins, Chair of Public Safety Budget Division, Minneapolis.
Sandy Pappas, Senator from St. Paul.
And Chair of?
Chair of the Higher Ed Division. So I'm just here if there's any questions on that or Article 12.
Okay.
Jess Myers with Senate Majority Research.
Okay, and I'm Lyndon Carlson. I chair the House Finance Committee and represent Robbinsdale, Crystal, Golden Valley, New Hope areas.
Bill Marks, House Fiscal Staff.
Kathy Novak, House Research.
Joanna Dornfeld, Lynn Carlson's office.
Lauren Solberg from Grand Rapids area, chair of the Ways and Means.
President Michael Paymar from St. Paul, I chair the Public Safety Finance Division.
I'm Patrick Garofalo. I'm not a chairman of any committee, but I'm from the entertainment wing of the House Republican Caucus. So.
Well, with those comments, we look forward to your participation then.
Mr. Chairman, I should just indicate, because introducing staff, obviously, from your staff, Ms. Dornfeld continues, from your direct staff. And on my direct staff, I know many people have had worked with Angie Haig over the years. She deserted me this year for two little kids, and so that's why Ms. Kaplan is a new staffer here tonight.
Okay, and welcome. Commissioner Hansen was asked to make a few comments tonight as we begin the process, and I see you have the director of the budget, Mr. Showalter, with you. Welcome to both of you.
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner
members,
Hansen.
Thank you. For you, the record, I'm Tom Hansen. I'm the Commissioner of Management and Budget, and with me is our State Budget Director, Jim Showalter, in case you have more specific questions. I want to thank you for the opportunity and thank you for the work that you have done. I think it's your product is something that we can work with, and hopefully we can expedite this bill on its way. I would be remiss, however, if I didn't raise some suggestions about your work product, and hopefully we can get these worked out in the week to come. Some of these I shared with both of you, Mr. Chairman, and others earlier today. But first, first point I want to make is the somewhat piecemeal manner on which your budget process is moving forward this year. The Senate has yet to put forward their full package. It would be easier for us to figure out how this first piece fits in. And then the other piece, both of you don't clearly spell out your tails. You do on this first part, but not clearly on your overall package. With that, some of the other, and I assume, Mr. Chairman, you wanted me to make these type of comments.
Yes. Just to kind of set the stage and I liked your initial comment that you kind of like the work that product to some degree at any rate.
In the week to come, we hope we can engage with you on some of the policy language in the bill. Our governor's policy staff, as well as our commissioners, are ready to engage with conferees and your committee chairs on both sides. And I don't think I saw anything that overwhelming that we couldn't work that out. Neither of your bills, the governor's bill puts $200 million or so in the state cash flow account to mitigate against short-term borrowing going forward. Neither of your bills does that. It would be nice to have some sort of recognition that we're going to have to manage cash flow in the weeks to in months to come. As far as the big dollar pieces in the bill, as I see it, big changes. The governor's budget reduces local aids and credits more than either body. That in turn gives us a better tails number. We're going to want to talk to you about that, try to hopefully get some number in between yours and ours. And then the other two big money pieces that come to mind as we look through it, the assigned risk, the $15 million was not a piece of the governor's budget, as well as the $25 million of the mutual fund registration fee. And then as we go forward, we're going to want to be vigilant on the public safety and corrections area. The governor's always concerned about that, but I think that the product is something we can work with. There is some of the state government bill we're going to want to talk to you a little more about. But other than that, I think it's a very product that we can work with, and I myself, as well as the governor and the members of our administration, look forward to working with you in the days to come. And with that, I can answer or try to answer any questions you might have.
Any members of the conference committee have questions at this point? And Mr. Showalter, you're just available for questions this evening then?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's just the eye candy.
Sure. Well, very good. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And I'm not sure, Mr. Marks, are you going first? Or? Okay. Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chair and members, next up we were going to walk through. You should have a spreadsheet in your binders, and there's, if you have the handy-dandy color one, I'll reference the colors, and there's members of the public should have them also. And I'm just going to walk through it for each of the budget areas. That this spreadsheet shows the change from the November forecast base in both the appropriations area spending for each of the budget areas, and also if there are any revenue changes in the budget area. I'll start with higher education, and I'll just read across. For the governor's position on higher education, the governor reduces spending by a small amount, $454,000 in fiscal 10, $52,829,000 in fiscal 11, for a total of $53.3 million reduction in fiscal 10-11. And I should note here, this is the first point you'll see that the governor's items here include the governor's recommendations for extending the unallotments made this past year on a permanent basis. And so in higher education, you can see that the governor's reduction would be $305,482,000. For the Senate, the Senate has a small increase in spending of $1.297 million in fiscal 10, a reduction of $49.297 million in 2011 for a net reduction of $48 million for the biennium, and for fiscal 12 and 13, a $98.8 million reduction. The House has a small increase for fiscal 10 of $1.4 million. A reduction of $48.155 million in 2011 for a reduction of $46.745 million in the biennium, and that carries through as a reduction of $93.49 million in the tails. Over on the right-hand column, I won't go through each of the changes necessarily, but this shows the difference between the House and the Senate for both fiscal 10-11 and for the planning period of fiscal 12 and 13. The difference between the House and the Senate is $1.255 million for fiscal 10-11. In the energy, environment and energy area, and this is broken out with a little more detail, just reflecting that commerce is in different divisions in different budget areas in the House and the Senate. Looking at the biennial numbers, the governor has a reduction of $5.932 million in the environment area. That line should just be labeled environment appropriations. And energy appropriations, which is the Department of Commerce, a reduction in spending of $112,000. And revenue increases in the environment area of $7.349 million. In the Department of Commerce, $3.020 million for a net change of savings to the general fund of $16,413,000. The net change for fiscal 12 and 13 is $14,347,000. For the Senate, for the biennial totals, fiscal 10-11 energy, environment, spending reductions of $13.114 million. $1.7 million reduction in energy programs, revenues in the environment area of $3.348 million. In the Department of Commerce, revenue increases of $33.725 million for a net change of $51.919 million budget savings in 10-11 and $71.892 million savings in 12 and 13. The House, the biennial totals for the environment budget, spending reductions of $15.057 million, reductions of $1.112 million in the Department of Commerce in energy programs. And I should actually, I keep saying energy programs, that line would much better be labeled just the Department of Commerce. There might be reductions both in the energy programs in the Department of Commerce, and we could get more information on that later, as well as the other areas administered by Commerce. Revenue increases in the environment area of $1.5 million and for revenues administered by the Department of Commerce, $48.658 million. And a net savings of $66 million in the $66.3 million in 10-11 and $65.564 million in the tails. There's the House has $14.4 million more in savings than the Senate in that budget area. Ag and Veterans Appropriations, the governor has the net reduction in spending of $4.6 million in Ag and Veterans, excluding the veterans' homes. The governor proposes increases for the veterans' homes area of the Department of Veterans Affairs by $1.835 million and transfers in some revenues in the Department of Agriculture of $1.046 million for a net general fund savings of $3.864 million. And $2.453 million net savings in 12 and 13. The Senate proposes budget reductions of $8 million in the Ag and Veterans area. The Senate does not have veterans homes in the Ag and Veterans jurisdiction, and so there is no activity there, and the net change is $8 million for 10-11 and $8.48 million for the tails. In the House, the House proposes budget reductions in Ag and Veterans Appropriations of $5.654 million in 10-11, transfers in of $1.046 million in the Department of Agriculture for net savings of $6.7 million in 10-11 and $5.298 million of savings in fiscal 12 and 13. And the Senate has reductions of $1.3 million more than the House in this budget area. Economic development, the governor proposes reducing spending in this budget area by $13.678 million, proposes revenues and other transfers in of $38.035 million for a net savings of $51.713 million in fiscal 10-11. And $32.101 million in fiscal 12 and 13. The Senate proposes spending reductions of $8.556 million in economic development and revenues and other transfers in of $5.337 million for net savings of $13.893 million and $10.03 million in the tails. The House proposes spending reductions of $7.906 million in fiscal 10-11 and revenue increases of $5.16 million for a net savings of $13.066 million and $11.554 million in the tails. I'll go through transportation, and then I think Mr. Marks might walk through the rest. Transportation, the governor proposes spending reductions of $4.278 million in fiscal 10-11 with some transfers in revenues of $843,000 for a net savings of $5.121 million and savings of $8.7 million in the tails. The Senate proposes spending reductions of $9.5 million and $13 million in the tails. And the House proposes spending reductions of $5.7 million in 10-11, a small loss of revenue of $150,000 for a net general fund savings of $5.561 million and $8.8 million in the tails. And there's a difference of just under $4 million between the House and the Senate in that budget area.
Mr. Chair, members, in the public safety area, the governor was proposing spending reductions of $23.857 million in 10 and 11 and had revenue increases of just over $12 million for a net change to the general fund of $35,923,000 and then $34,042,000 in fiscal 12 and 13. The Senate is proposing spending cuts of $32,182,000, revenue increases of $7,318,000 for a net change of $39,500,000 and then a net change of $45,308,000 in fiscal 12 and 13. The House has reductions of $22,676,000 and revenue increases of $13,247,000 for a net change of $35,923,000 in fiscal 10 and 11, and then a net reduction of $34,000,000 in fiscal 12 and 13. In the state government area, the governor had had spending reductions of $13,137,000. Revenue increases of $27,276,000 for a net change of $40,413,000 in fiscal 10 and 11, and a net change in fiscal 12 and 13 of $74,452,000. The Senate has spending reductions of $9,138,000 in 10 and 11, revenue increases of $28,103,000 for a net change of $37,241,000. And then $64,816,000 in fiscal 12 and 13. The House has spending reductions of $5,436,000, revenue increases of $27,413,000 for a net change of $32,849,000 in fiscal 10 and 11, and then a net change of $56,188,000 in fiscal 12 and 13. Then at this point in the comparison, we have a summary because there's interest in summing all the totals without taxes in it. You can see the totals there for fiscal 10 and 11, net change for the governor of $206,730,000 and then $471,617,000 in the tails. And just a reminder, as Mr. Mossman mentioned, that includes recommendations on allotment or carrying forward on allotment. Then in the Senate for fiscal 10 and 11 is -$208,053,000, and in 12 and 13, $312,348,000. The House has net changes in 10 and 11 of $207,174,000 and $274,894,000 in fiscal 12 and 13. Then the next item on are the tax committee changes. The spending change here, the governor recommended reduction of $256,548,000 in 10 and 11. And a note here on the tax revenue changes, we've only incorporated in here revenue changes as they relate to the spending changes. So this is income tax, interactions with income tax. As people pay more the assumption is people pay more property taxes, there's less property tax to deduct on income taxes, or more property tax to deduct on income taxes, resulting in less income tax revenue. So that's the only revenue item that's in these tax numbers because it relates to the change in the appropriations here. So for the governor in fiscal 12 and 13, there's a reduction of $1,012,334,000, and then a corresponding revenue reduction of $9,330,000 for a net change of $1,003,004. The Senate is proposing a reduction of $105,872,000 in fiscal 10 and 11, and then a spending reduction of $203,096,000 in 12 and 13, and has a revenue loss of $9,350,000 for a net change of $193,746. The House has a spending reduction of $105 million in 10 and 11, in 12 and 13, a net change of $191,894,000. And then a grand total at the bottom for the changes proposed in the bill. I'll just give the net numbers here. They sum up the numbers previously and then include the tax numbers. Governor's recommendation for these areas would be $463,278,000 in 10 and 11, $1,474,621,000 in 12 and 13. The Senate's at minus $313,925,000 in 10 and 11, minus $506,094,000 in 12 and 13. The House is at negative $312,174,000 in 10 and 11, and minus $466,788,000 in 12 and 13.
And Mr. Marks, the big difference when it's $1.5 billion under the governor's 12 and 13 is the unallotment carry forward. Is that the
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Difference. There's a substantial amount. I don't know that I have a spreadsheet with me that has the unallotment number, but there's a major amount of that, or a major share of that number in 12 and 13 for the governor would be carrying unallotment changes forward.
You don't need
forward.
The exact number at this point, but just so folks that are following understand that that's one of the reasons that there's quite a difference there in the amount. Are there any questions of Mr. Marks or Mr. Mousman? Okay, seeing no questions. The next item on the agenda, then, we were going to ask the fiscal staff to do us a review of the various subject areas. And the first one up will be Okay, it'll be Mr. Berg and Mr. Weidman. Oh, excuse me, Miss. I wasn't looking up. Okay. That was rather obvious when I looked up. Sorry. I think, at least on the House side, the information that we'll be following was in our front cover. So if you could identify which sheets we're looking at here.
Mr. Chairman, you should have in your packet a one-page document that's labeled House File 1671, Article 1, Senate File 3223, Article 2, Higher Education, Major Differences.
This one here, okay. Everybody find that one? Yeah, it was in the front of your notebooks.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if we start at the top, basically it will just show the changes for fiscal 10. The governor with a reduction of $53.3 million, Senate at 48, the House at 46.8, and the Senate-House difference is about $1.3 million. Continuing on down through the Office of Higher Education, which is primarily dealing with changes in financial aid, the House has a net reduction of $158,000, which is a cut to the administrative line there. The House also cuts about $1.5 million from state grants in fiscal 11, and that is to cover a reciprocity obligation to North Dakota that we just found out about relatively recently. The Senate cuts the office by $1.4 million in 10 and 11, and basically we did 3% and 6% cuts to various programs there, including the administrative line, college savings programs, library programs, work study, emergency grants, and a medical residency subsidy. We also appropriate $1.5 million in 10 and $267,000 in 11 to cover the reciprocity obligation. The House eliminates the ACHIEVE program. They also eliminate the ninth semester of eligibility for the state grant program. The House eliminates a new program that was created last session, the Summer Bridge Grants. In terms of dealing with a shortfall in the state grant program, the House and Senate approached that a bit differently. The House reduces the two-year cap that's used in the formula to determine the state grant award, and they lower the two-year cap to the highest public institution for students in both two- and four-year programs at for-profit schools. And then the balance of the shortfall is covered by the House by rationing that is specified in statute. The Senate takes care of the shortfall in the state grant program strictly through the statutory rationing.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, maybe I could ask Mr. Berg, because it's a House reduction. What do the caps translate to in terms of pupils with the tuition caps, the two-year and the four-year at the for-profit schools?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, do you mean the number the cap will go to? Or
yeah.
The cap would go to, I believe it's 5,353.64 would be the new cap for two-year students and four-year programs at for-profit schools, 5,300.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, then, if there are not other questions, moving on to the systems. At the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, both the House...
Excuse me, Mr. Representative Solberg.
The Senate has no provision for the shortfall in student aid other than to prorate it. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, that's correct.
And do we have a number of what that would mean for each student loss?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, yes, we do have runs on that, where the breakout is by both family income and sector.
Okay. It'd be interesting to see those runs if we could.
We can make that available for you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, we do have that.
Mr. Byrd.
The Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, the House and the Senate cut the same amount, $10.467 million. The major difference in the way that's allocated is the Senate eliminates the line item for the central office at MNSCU and then reappropriates that amount of money minus the cut to the MNSCU O&M line and directs the Board of Trustees to allocate the cuts out to the system. That would eliminate a statutory line item for the central office. The House reduces the central office appropriation by $3 million and then allocates the remaining part of the cut to the system operations and maintenance line. And then there is a difference at both the University of Minnesota and MNSCU in the way the House and Senate treat the tails. The Senate tried to basically, of the $46.6 million that's cut between the two systems, the Senate split it evenly between the University of MNSCU and the House. Basically straight-lined the cut and then reduced it by the amount of the savings from eliminating the ACHIEVE program. Moving on to the University of Minnesota, again, the House and the Senate have the exact same dollar cut of $36.12 million. The Senate would take that entire cut from the University Operations and Maintenance appropriation. The House allocates the cuts proportionately across all of the university's appropriations, operations and maintenance, and state specials. And again, the note that we allocate the tails differently between the House and Senate on the UNMNSCU. And I would note that the number that's being cut for the systems, the 46.6 collectively, is the maximum amount that can be cut under the federal maintenance of effort agreements because of the due to federal stimulus funding. So we have the same total cut, and it's the maximum you can cut from the systems in 2011.
Yes, and Mr. Berg, that's based on we can't go below what was expended in the two systems in 2006, if I recall, isn't that?
That's correct, Mr. Right. Chairman. The maintenance of effort standard is fiscal 2006.
Okay, are there questions of Weidman or Mr. Berg? Very good, thank you. We have Mr. Mueller and Mr. Reinholz, Environment and Energy.
Mr. Chair, there should be a similar one-page handout. It looks like this. It should at the top say Environment Natural Resources Supplemental Budget.
It was in this pocket.
Okay. I have it. I passed over it once, I guess.
Mr. Chair, we'll go through this quickly. The first part, obviously, is a spreadsheet that just laid out showing the governor's, the House, and the Senate positions by agency, showing the reductions. It's really in the House bill. It's Article 1 is the environmental area. Article 2, and then Article 3 is the Minnesota Zoo and the Science Museum. The spreadsheet then shows some transfers in revenue amounts comparing the governor, the House, and the Senate, and the net general fund down at the bottom. And I'll point out that the difference between the Senate and the House is $98,000, so very close. House at 16, reduction of $16,462,000. This is the Senate reduction, the House at $16,560,000. Both House and Senate. Net effect is approximately $3.3 million more than the reduction made by the governor, as you can see, so significantly greater reductions in both House and Senate. One of the significant changes between House and Senate would be that the House has, that is, reductions, it should say, in the PILT payments. I'll point that out up on the top. DNR PILT payments, the House is reducing by $2,813,000. The governor had $1,295,000. Senate position has no reduction in that.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
I apologize for interrupting Mr. Reinholz, but let me just point out to House members that it's the position of the Senate relative to the PILT payments that there was a cut originally in Senator Anderson's bill. And I know this is a discussion within the House Tax Committee as well as within the Senate Tax Committee and the two Finance Committees, the question of whether or not PILT is a tax issue or a finance issue. And Senator Bach had concerns about Senator Anderson's cut, which originally was greater than the House cut. It was a $3 million cut. And his position was that he would add to the Senate target for the tax committee to make up that difference. And I think that's it's something we'll have to resolve, because I think Representative Lanchesky's position is that per 105 target for the tax purposes did not include PILT. Whereas that's why you see a zero reflected in the PILT line for the Senate. You know, Senator Bach said he would buy it back.
Okay, so the bottom line then, Senator Cohen, is that there's no cut in PILT.
That's correct.
In the Senate, when you look at the bottom line, where there would be remaining the 2.8 in the House.
Okay. That's correct, but it's not an insignificant, given the fact that our bills in many respects are fairly close, that's not an insignificant disparity, but that's the reason for that disparity.
Okay.
Mr. Reinhold. Chairman, I would continue. That another item to note would the governor use significantly more transfers from other funds to the general fund. That shows up on that line, the transfers revenues change. The governor had $7,349,000 proposed transfer from various funds within this area to the general fund. The House had
recommends $1,503,000. The Senate, $3,348,000 being transferred from other funds to the general fund. The Senate transfers money from the environmental fund. The House does not. That's where the significant difference between the funding levels in the Senate and the House is. The House in 1671 also has several non-general fund appropriations. The Senate does not have any of these non-general fund appropriations. That really is pointing out the spreadsheet, the numbers difference, and a few of the items of note. That's, Mr. Chairman, that's all we were going to run over unless there's questions.
Okay. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I should point out a correction. Mr. Mueller was nice enough not to correct me, but so thanks, Dan, for that. That on the PILT, Mr. Mossman reminded me that it wasn't a $3 million reduction. It was the governor's reduction. But so Senator Bach had bought. Now Dan is, Mr. Mueller is nodding his head, recognizing my mistake, in the discussions with Senator Bach, he said, look, I'll buy back the $1.3 million, and we agreed he would do some additional cuts. So I was mistaken to the extent of about half of that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. And Dan Mueller, you're going to do the energy part.
Mr. Chairman, yes, and Mr. Soderberg will be here as my co-pilot.
The two of you, and what are we looking at here?
There's a handout coming around that summarizes Article 4 energy, and I've kind of split up commerce to make it sort of non-energy and energy, so that people on the Senate side will recognize some of the changes made as the Senate has the commerce split up between two different divisions. And so I'll just summarize it by that. The first commerce, non-energy area of commerce, the governor had, both the governor and the House have the same general fund reductions of $112,000. And then revenues in the non-energy part of commerce, the governor had a small $1.6 million transfer. The House's $44.8 million includes the assigned risk transfer and the securities registration. And over on the Senate has $458,000 worth of reductions and then $33.6 million of revenue. So the net effect of the non-energy part of commerce, the House has about $10.8 million more of general fund reductions. Now onto the energy portion of commerce, which includes the Office of Energy Security and then the Division of Telecommunications. The governor had no general fund reductions. The House had $1 million worth of reductions and cancellations. This was mostly for E85 grants and hydrogen renewable grants. And the Senate had $1.2 million worth of general fund reductions and cancellations, also for E85 grants and renewable hydrogen grants. The main difference in this area is transfers from other funds. The governor had $1.4 million worth of transfers from other funds. The House has $2.8 million, and the Senate has down to $119,000. So there's a $2.4 million difference in this part of commerce. And then the next section there is just combining Mr. the
Chairman,
two areas.
Senator Cohen.
Can I ask the distinction, what the House transfers were, since we don't have any of those?
Mr. Chairman, let's Mr. Soderberg answer this.
Mr. Chairman and members, the distinction is that there were several special revenue funds that the governor recommended reductions in. The House agreed with most of those reductions and had some that were higher than the governor's recommendation. And the other major one are in special revenue funds, or they're in accounts within the special revenue fund itself, and they basically had to do with renewable energy grants, energy planning, and some technical assistance and grants programs.
So what are the explicit funds?
You want the explicit funds?
Yes.
The one is a renewable energy equipment grant. It was a governor's rec that the Senate didn't do. It's $4,000. The next one is energy planning and systems. The House is at 238. The governor recommended $15,000, so the difference, and the Senate didn't do any of that. The next one is demand efficiency. It's technical assistance. The House is at 117,000. The governor had recommended 16,000. The Senate didn't do any of that. The next one is the demand efficiency R&D grants. The House is at 1,150,000. The governor had recommended 529,000, and the Senate didn't do that. The next one is the energy efficiency facilities. Called the B3 program. The governor had recommended 52,000. The House did the governor's rec on that. And the other one was the residential propane, and I'm trying to think of which was $150,000 House only, and I think that was the only difference. Is that it? Huh? I think that's it.
Okay, are there any questions? Well, thank you. Now we'll go to Egg and
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
We should note before the
Senator Cohen.
I think this is a significant difference between the Senate and the House, where I think within the Commerce area, you've got the transfer from the assigned risk plan, and you have what, $50 million? We have zero. So that's one of the
very significant differences in the bill overall. Yeah, relative to revenue and transfers.
So I think the members should take a note that with revenues that the legislature has brought into this bill, another very significant and a major difference between the administration and the legislature now is the securities fee, registration fee, where Senate's at 27.5, House is at 25, something we've used before. We used it, 2 years ago?
Yes.
And it's been utilized in the past. And I think our mutual feeling was that the impact, to be blunt, was primarily on companies outside of the state of Minnesota. I mean, there's some Minnesota companies, but basically an out of the state fee, coupled with then your assigned risk, which is also a difference with the administration.
And our division chair, working with the department on that one, said that the fee level at 0.1% would put us pretty much in the mainstream of what the fee is nationally as well. So that was another thing that was a part of the discussion on the House side.
Yeah, that was my understanding as well. And I think Senator Tomasoni is not on the conference screen.
Okay, any other? But that is an important point to note. Okay, Mr. Reinholz and Dan Mueller.
Mr. Chair, you should have in your packets a one page very similar to the environment one. That this one says at the top, Ag and Veterans Supplemental Appropriations. I'll just go through that quickly then, and we'll answer questions. As you can see, the total net general fund at the very bottom of the spreadsheet, the governor had $3,864,000. He had large reductions in Ag and actual added money in veterans. The House has a reduction of $6,700,000. The Senate has a net of $8 million, so the difference there is the Senate is a larger reduction by $1,300,000. Up in the agencies, the biggest difference in the detail is the
ethanol payments, obviously. The governor had 1.676 for the reduction. The House had 2,255,000 in the Senate with 6,620,000. Also then, point out the difference, the House reductions to the remainder of the Department of Agriculture were $3,051,000. Senate reductions, $961,000. And then in the AURI appropriation, the governor had recommended reducing that by 50%. Neither the House or the Senate had that significant amount of a reduction. The House had 370-cent reduction, Senate at 291. Other parts that of note, maybe the House, obviously the House has significantly more cuts to Department of Ag than the Senate. And in those cuts, the House eliminates the gypsy moth and emerald ash borer programs that are in the Department of Agriculture at this time. To also should point out, although Mr. Mossman did point out when he went through his spreadsheet, the Senate does not include veterans' homes in this bill that's in this conference committee. The House does have that in 1671. The House has non-general fund items in the bill. The Senate does not. Now, those really are the high points in review of the numbers. Any questions? We'd be happy to answer.
Mr. Reinholz, how did we handle that when we were dealing with 1812? Of course, we did have Health and Human Services was part of 1812, wasn't it? So we probably didn't have the issue of veterans' homes.
Mr. Chairman, I believe you're right. That bills was included in that bill.
So, yeah, just as I asked the question, I remembered the answer. Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair, I have two questions, one of you, and then we're just going through the highlights of the differences here. I mean, we don't really have a spreadsheet. Is that what we're doing here? I mean, is there an overall spreadsheet of all of the reductions?
Well, the overall spreadsheet.
Where do we have to plow through this book somehow and find it?
I assume he means this one, right? Yeah, it doesn't have the detail. Well, the overall spreadsheet we went over, but it didn't have the detail, this one. And we're just getting the highlights tonight so people begin to see what some of the differences and the issues are, if that's what you're asking.
Then a question then about the ethanol producer payments. Are these actual reductions in ethanol producer payments, or are you deferring these payments out to future years?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Paymar, both sides are really just pushing the payments out to future years. There is reductions in the appropriation, but the commitment to make the full payments is still in the statute, so the effect will be that the deficiency payments, as they're called, are being pushed out into the future, farther out.
Representative Paymar, is that?
Well, I just, you know, it looks like it's, I think, just to be clear and transparent, it looks like we're making reductions and we're not in producer payments that are really a subsidy for ethanol that to an industry that doesn't really need subsidies anymore. Well, Mr. Chairman, a time of budget crisis.
Senator Bickerman?
Thank you.
Or Senator Murphy, I thought one of your hands went up. Senator Bickerman.
I'm just kind of curious about the ethanol part of this. And Governor is 1676, House was 2255, and we took 6620. Am I reading this right?
Yes.
Well, it was the only way we could get to stay within my targets. I had to find money someplace. And I never had one phone call from any ethanol producer, plant, elevator in my whole district. As long as we were just delaying the payment and they would get it in a later year. And I'm going to stick with that. We'll see between me and the House who's going to come out on that, but it's only we had any money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator Cohen.
And Mr. Chairman, relative to what Senator Bickerman mentioned in terms of the delay in producer payments, that obviously this is not a cut, this is a delay, but it sounds like Senator Bickerman and Representative Paymar align on this. Senator Representative Paymar is expressing, I think, the opinion of District 64 in this regard, I believe.
And is that correct? Or 60, just 64B, not 64A?
Just the B half.
Okay. All right. But it sounds like you and Senator Vickerman align on that.
Is that a district in St. Paul, by any chance?
It's a very nice district, too.
Indeed it is.
And half the crowd here lives in the district, I think, which is always a problem around here. Let me also make, if, Mr. Chairman, if I could also ask a question of either Mr. Reinholz or maybe Mr. Reinholz, maybe somebody on the House side, as to the elimination of the ash borer program. What was the thought with that? If anybody, or maybe Mr. Chairman, you could, is that a program people didn't like, or?
I think it's fair to say that there's been a fair amount of discussion on that question on the House side. Say the least, and probably will be a topic of discussion here.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, the other comment I was going to make is that Mr. Reynolds made reference to the veterans' homes. That's an awkwardness in this conference committee, to the extent that we have jurisdiction in the health and human services portion of the budget, because nursing homes are there. So we've kept the veterans home jurisdiction in that part of our finance committee. Obviously, that division's not here in this conference committee. So it's a I think it's the only jurisdictional issue we have that we have to resolve at some point.
Yeah, that's correct. Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to Representative Paymar's question about the ethanol producer payments not actually being a cut, but you know, that's a long-standing program, and a lot of those plants have been on this program, and this is a third gyration of delaying their payments that were promised 10, 12, 14 years ago. So they've been waiting for their money, waiting for their money. Sooner or later, they're going to get it all. But the bottom line was, is we as a legislature made, you know, when ethanol was first being developed, we made that commitment to those folks that we were going to continue to make that payment, and we have, just like the commitment that we've made to the folks along 35W and not raising their speed limit.
Well, we can have a no amendment.
Chair, Representative Paymar.
I don't want to get into that, the latter part, but let me just say there is nothing in statute that requires us to continue making these producer payments to these ethanol plants that, by and large, most of them are quite profitable. And I think the public, by and large, does not support a subsidy to these plants. And you can say that we have some kind of agreement to them. I don't believe it. And at a time of budget deficit, to me, this is...
Those subsidies stop. There is no more subsidy.
I didn't hear Senator Vickerman.
The end of 2014, no new plant gets any subsidy whatsoever. I wanted to ask a couple quick questions.
Senator Vickerman.
I'm nervous about House eliminates the gypsy moth and emerald ash borer programs. That's every time I pick up the paper, I see another infestation of something going on with the trees. Mm-hmm. And it makes it kind of hard, Senate and chair of that committee, I have no veterans home funding in this bill in mind. The House has the veterans bill, or the supply it. So that's a little bit of difference there. How I really don't want it, because it's...
That's the jurisdictional issue that Senator Cohen referenced that we'll have to resolve, because you carry it in the Health and Human Services bill. That's why I was trying to recall with 1812, but then I recalled that we had... when we had that conference committee going in 2008, we had the Health and Human Services as part of that budget balancing bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Maybe I can comment a little bit on the other question of eliminating the programs in the Department of Ag. If I may, and this is anecdotal type evidence from Representative Junkie, but the responsibility, as I understand it, for the Department of Ag is to prevent disease coming into the state. And once a disease is here, then it's over to the Department of Natural Resources to control it. And obviously, both of them are here. So his thought is that's an obligation of the DNR, as it was in the elm tree difficulties. You solve it by cutting down the trees, and that was a DNR responsibility. That's his thinking on eliminating those programs.
Senator Murphy. So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, so they transfer the money to the DNR to do this work then?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Solberg.
I think they transferred the responsibility for the DNR to do it.
There is language in the bill, if I recall, that dealing with federal funds, and I think yes. Either department would be eligible to get the federal funds. If I don't know if Mr. Reinholz worked on that or not.
Mr.
But then I guess it would be an administrative decision as to which department would get the federal funds. But then the state funds are yet another issue. Mr. Reinholz?
Mr. Chair, you're correct. There's language that requires that the two agencies work on that to try to make sure the federal funds come in.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, well, thank you. Well, let's see. We go down to... before we go to the next area, I did want to point out, so everybody notices, the question had been asked about the impact of a $42 million state grant proration, and so that was handed out, so you have that information, being it was a discussion item, or a question that was asked. We go to economic development next, and I'm not sure there's going to be three of you, or
we're going to do housing after. We'll do the overview, and then housing we'll do separate.
And housing, we'll do okay.
Yep.
Very good. And that'll be Mr. Soderberg and Mr. Jensen.
Mr. Chairman and members, we're going to be working off the economic development budget highlights. It's a one-pager. The first item is there's about $1 million difference between the House and Senate in the net general fund impact. Getting there is both bodies took a different approach to get there, but in the end, that was the difference. Both in the Senate and the House are about $40 million less than the governor recommendation for the budget accounts. The reason why will become apparent later on in the presentation. The overall approach taken is the Senate basically used a 3% and 5% for all budget and all accounts. The House made select reductions in some of the agencies and did an approximate 3% and 3% across the board cuts for the Cultural and Outdoor Resources Agency. I should make mention that the 3% and 3% that would look to be the same between the House and the Senate, the Cultural Outdoor Resources, is different because the House adjusted the base to reflect that we're quite a ways into the fiscal year, and so the 3% is off a much smaller base than the Senate was, and so the numbers would be different. Dave?
Mr. Chairman, members, Dave Jensen. The governor had eliminated funding for the film board, the public broadcasting grants, the arts board, and the humanities center. That came to about $6 million. And the division was able to find money to cover about $5.5 million of that. And the big change or the big difference from the governor's numbers are the House and the Senate did not agree to transfer money from the Northeast Minnesota Economic Protection Fund and the 21st Century Minerals Fund. And then basically on the rest of the revenues, the House and the Senate are the same. There's two exceptions. They were in labor and industry that brought in about $1.4 million. So the net impact between the House and the Senate is $1 million. We have 15 agencies with many, many programs and many small adjustments. So we've done kind of a highlight sheet for you.
Okay, are there any questions?
Mr. Chair, do all the counts line up on this one? They line up.
Okay, Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, should also be pointed out, and this one's pretty obvious, that probably the principal difference between
the legislature and the governor is the governor's utilization of the entirety of the Douglas Johnson Fund and the 21st Century Minerals Fund. And that's a big part of the difference between this conference committee and the administration.
No, where we used other revenue sources, yes, rather than
That's the difference where it's not quite dollar for dollar, but the securities fee, and in your case, the assigned risk plan.
Yeah, would bring us pretty close to that that number. It's a good point to make. Okay, let's see. We're going down to housing, and which of you is going first?
I'll start, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And members, I'll be working off. You should have a sheet that is titled with the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency.
Ms. Adrian's this one here.
That's the one.
Okay.
And all of the recommended cuts were made from two programs within the Housing Finance Agency. The first is called the Affordable Rental Investment Fund, and it's better known as PARIF. And then the other is the Housing Rehabilitation Loan Program. And what the House did was the House reduced funding by $3.6 million for the first biennium and $2.9 million in the second. The Senate, and this is just for PARIF, the Senate reduced funding by about $4.5 million in the first biennium and $2.3 million in the second. And the governor did $3.6 million in the first biennium and then $3.2 million in the second. For housing rehab, the House reduced it by $1.2 million in the first biennium, and then that increased and went up to $2 million for the second biennium. And the Senate just did $1 million for fiscal years 2010 and 11, and then no further cuts to that program in the out years. The governor did a reduction of $1 million in the first biennium and then increased that up to $2.5 million. So I guess for the bottom line, the difference between the House and the Senate, in the first biennium, they're pretty close. They're about $600,000 apart. And that difference is a little bit more magnified in the tails. It goes up to about $2.5 million difference.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
Jensen,
the Housing Finance Agency is 32% of the budget that we had to work with, so we did have to take a close look at it and make some reductions. So there's about a 6% reduction on 32% of the budget.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Transportation, Ms. Zuers and Ms. Boyd.
Mr. Chair and members, we'll be working off of the sheet titled with the box at the top that says Transportation Finance General Fund Provisions at the top. As you can see, the governor's reductions totaled about $5.1 million. The House's reductions totaled about $5.6 million, and the Senate's reductions totaled about $9.5 million. The House's reductions included both cuts as well as a revenue decrease to the general fund. The cuts included a reduction to Greater Minnesota Transit of $821,000, a reduction to Metropolitan Area Transit for $4.84 million, and a reduction to the freight program of $50,000 per fiscal year. And the base appropriations for all of those, the total reduction is about $9.1 million for the fiscal year 2012-2013 biennium.
Mr. Chairman, moving on to the Senate position, the Senate's reduction is $9.5 million in fiscal year 2011. This is entirely a reduction to the Metropolitan Area Transit operating budget. Only $6.5 million of that is a base reduction, $3 million is one time in 11 only. And by comparison, the governor has a net reduction of about $5.12 million, including cuts to both Greater Minnesota and Metro Area Transit budgets, reductions to the Urban Partnership Agreement and the freight programs, both in MnDOT, a decrease in Department of Public Safety's Information Technology budget, and several small transfers to the general fund from the state airports fund and other small accounts within the special revenue fund.
Mr. Chair and members, a part of the general fund change for both the House and the Senate is a repeal of the hazardous materials registration program, and the Senate is carrying this in their omnibus policy bill. The repeal decreases general fund revenue by $150,000 per year from the general fund and $80,000 per year from the trunk highway fund. And the governor and House make up these reductions in general fund revenue by reducing the freight appropriation. The governor reduced the freight appropriation by $125,000, and the House reduced the freight appropriation by $50,000 per year.
And then there's just two small provisions that are common to the governor, the House, and the Senate positions relating to trunk highway spending. There's an increase, additional spending authority from the trunk highway fund of $104 million, and that's to take advantage of some additional federal money that's been made available in 2011. And a $5 million trunk highway appropriation for the creation of an emergency relief account, and that's to provide quicker reimbursement to the districts if there are road conditions constituting emergencies in their districts. And then when federal reimbursement comes in from Federal Highway Administration, it will be redeposited to that newly created account.
Okay, are there any questions then? We'll be there. Okay, very good. Thank you. Public safety.
Mr. Chair, members, we'll be working off the public safety summary sheet. It's a two-pager. Basically, you can see that public safety reductions, the governor had close to $24 million in reductions. The Senate had $32.2 million in reductions, with the House at $22.7 million. There's basically about a $9.5 million difference between the Senate and the House and the reductions. General fund transfers, the governor and the House are very similar. The governor had about a little over $12 million. The House had $13.247 million, and the Senate had $7.318 million. The totals, the governor is at $35,923,000, and the House is the same, and the Senate is at $39,500,000. Court funding, the reductions in the courts, basically we have the totals here of the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, and the District Courts. The governor had a $14.7 million reduction. He had the highest reduction. The Senate is in between at a $12.3 million reduction, and the House is at $9.6 million. The public defenders, this is the Board of Public Defense. The governor has, once again, the highest reduction here, $3.3 million. The Senate is in between at $2.7 million, with the House coming in at $1.8 million. The Department of Public Safety, the next one on the sheet, all three budgets fund the disaster state match of $1.6 million. This is for the Red River Valley flooding that took place last year. And operations in the Department of Public Safety, the governor makes no cuts to the Department of Public Safety and operations. The Senate cuts $3 million from DPS operations, and the House similar at $3.6 million.
Mr. Chairman, members, continuing on with the Department of Corrections, the total cut to the Department of Corrections in the governor's budget is $7.4 million. In the Senate budget, it's $15.5 million, and in the House budget, it's $9 million. Then the governor's budget, the reduction of $7.4 million consists of $2.5 million in cuts to institutions and $4.8 million in cuts to community services, of which $4.6 million comes from the elimination of the Sentence to Service program. And the governor makes no cuts to operation support.
Senator Vaughn. Mr. Chairman, remind me of what the dollar amount is with the Sentence to Serve funding, the House versus the Senate.
Mr. Turner.
I can do that.
Mr. Chairman, members, in the Senate, with a $15.5 million total cut. That includes $10.1 million to institutions, $4 million to community services, and $1.3 million to operations support. The Senate bill, as Senator Cohen noted, prohibits cuts to the sentence to serve programs.
So if you can remind me of the dollar amount, as to how much the House...
$4.6 million for the governor.
And for the House on the sentence to serve cut?
$2.3 million for the House.
Okay.
The Senate also prohibits cuts to reentry programs or discharge planning for the mentally ill. So it has three programs that are off limits for cuts. Moving on to the House budget, the House cuts DOC operations by a total of $9 million. That includes $6.5 million in agency-wide reductions and $2.5 million to community services. The House cuts the sentence to serve funding by one-half, $2.3 million, which essentially reduces its state share for the program to 25% of program costs. In addition, all three bills contain general fund transfers. All budgets make the general fund transfer from the MNCOR account of $1.6 million. It was the governor's recommendation, as well as the DOC special revenue account transfer of $0.6 million. Then the three budgets also transfer money from the fire safety account and the special revenue fund to the general fund as follows. The governor transfers $9.9 million from fire safety, the Senate $5.5 million, and the House $10.9 million. And finally, there's special revenue appropriations within the bill. The governor does not cut or appropriate money to the post board or the fire marshal. However, the House appropriates $1 million for firefighter training through the fire marshal, and it cuts the post board by $181,000. The Senate, on the other hand, appropriates $4.4 million for firefighter training through the fire marshal, and then an additional $348,000 through the post board for police training. Those are the major differences in public safety.
Any questions from either of the senator or representative from the 64th District?
Mr. Chairman, that being the case, I've got a question.
Senator Cohen.
This is the one place where we match up on the conference committee, where we've got Representative Paymar and Senator Higgins as chairman. At least in the Senate, we've got the separate judiciary division, but in terms of corrections public safety, we have the two chairs who match up. So can I just ask, just to follow up on my question about sentence to serve, because Senator Higgins, that was something that you wanted to try to prevent cuts to on the Senate side. So I don't know if this is directed for Representative Paymar. As to why you cut half of it, what we get as a consequence or we don't get as a consequence.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Amar.
Cohen, what we did, and I have to dig the language in the bill out, is I think our committee clearly recognizes the value of sentence to serve all across the state of Minnesota. We could have accepted the governor's recommendation to eliminate it. We wanted to preserve it. We also have language in our bill, Mr. Carger, if I'm not incorrect, that would allow the local units of government who use sentence to serve to charge a fee to the offenders and to also levy back, if you will, to the that's probably not the right word, but to charge a fee to the entities that are receiving the benefit from the offenders that are working in the sentence to serve program. So we tried to preserve it and offer a little more local incentive to keep the program going. That answers your question to the senator from 64.
Thanks.
Senator Higgins, you're done. Okay. Very good. Thank you. State government.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, again, you should have a one-page handout that's titled State Government Finance. The net general fund changes for this area, for the governor, it was $40.4 million, and I'm sorry, these should be negative numbers on the chart, not positive, where it says net general fund change. The Senate was at a reduction of $37.2 million, and the House at $32.8 million. So the difference between the House and Senate is about $4.4 million. The first major difference between the House and Senate bills, the House had an approach of including a $2.63 million per year starting fiscal year 11 across the board cut to all state agency operating budgets. That would not be just the agencies and state government finance, but all state agencies. And this would be achieved through various operational efficiencies. This is similar to a governor's proposal, although at a much reduced number and with more opportunities for savings identified. The Senate does not have a similar across-the-board cut. Instead, the state government bill in the Senate has higher operating budget reductions to the agencies that are specifically in the state government finance division. And to note, the difference between the House across-the-board cut and then the Senate's higher specific cuts, which the Senate's cuts total $1.6 million more than the House. So it's really about a $1 million difference between those two approaches to state agency operating budget cuts.
The next big difference between the House and the Senate is the Senate bill has actually a complete article dealing with eliminating a number of positions. It's essentially limiting agencies to one deputy commissioner, eliminates all assistant commissioners, and then there's selected other political appointees that have been eliminated. The savings from this is about $4.8 million to the general fund, and then there's a little over $3 million from all the other non-general funds that are funding these salaries and benefits. And I should point out the non-general fund savings are being returned to these funds. They are not being transferred to the general fund.
Going on to the other differences, for the legislature, the House and Senate both have the same total dollar reduction for fiscal year 10 and 11. It's a 3% reduction, but have chosen different ways to distribute that reduction. The House has some cancellations from carry forward accounts that the Senate does not have, and differences in the operating budget reductions. And then going forward into 12-13, the House reduction for the entire legislature is a 2% reduction, and the Senate is at 3%.
As far as the constitutional officers, the House's cuts match that the governor presented in his budget. And the Senate used a straight 3% cut for the Attorney General, the State Auditor, and the Secretary of State. And that's one of the reductions in the Senate are actually lower than the House numbers. And when it came to the governor's office, the Senate used a 6% reduction.
For the state agency operating budget reductions and the councils, including the councils that in the House were originally funded in the legacy committee, Representative Murphy's committee, the House used the governor's 3% calculation, and the Senate is at a 4% operating budget reduction. The one difference, exceptions for the Department of Revenue, again, the House used the governor's 3% reduction to the non-compliance portion of that department only, and the Senate has an additional $1.19 million reduction for Department of Revenue.
And then taking a look at the revenue changes, the tax compliance is the same between both the House and the Senate, and this was at the level that the governor recommended. Other changes, the Senate does not do the transfer of special revenue funds from the Gambling Control Board and the Racing Commission. And also the Senate bill also transfers all the special revenue funds from the governor's office to the general fund. And that's slightly more than $1 million for 10 and 11. And the House transfer is $95,000 from the governor's office. And that sums up basic differences.
Okay, are there questions of Ms. Roberts or Mr. Lundin?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Taxes would be the final item.
Mr. Chair and members, we have a one-page summary for you that compares tax deeds and credits. Correct.
Okay, who's going first? Michelle?
Yes. Kathy Schill, House Fiscal. Basically, the reductions to tax aids and credits from both bills is remarkably similar. Similar House and Senate. The governor starts out with a reduction in fiscal 2011 of $256.5 million. The House, in turn, reduces the amount by $105 million, the Senate by $105.872 million. In fiscal 12 and 13, the changes are demonstrably different, almost $1 billion in reduction in the governor's budget, the House at $191.89 million, the Senate at $193.746 million. Basically, we've taken reductions in three items: local government aid, county program aid, and market value credit. And the difference between the House and Senate in the combination of these items is simply $872 million. $1,000, not $1 million. And that difference is actually an action that was done by the Senate, not contained in the House bill, having to do with the buyback of the PILT payments. And that is in fiscal 11. Fiscal 12 and 13, the House accepted the governor's recommendation of the permanent market value credit reductions totaling approximately $30.2 million, and then actually split the rest of the cut equally between city and counties. A, that cut is about $75.9 million, roughly $37.4 million for each of the city and county A cuts. The Senate did this somewhat differently, and Ms. Bamash will tell you.
Mr. Chairs,
Ms. Bamash.
The Senate in fiscal year 12 and 13 also took the governor's recommended permanent market value cut reductions, but then at that point we split the remainder of the total aid and credit reductions evenly, 50-50, roughly 50-50 between cities and counties. And as a result of this action, where the Senate is different from the House, and that in each year of FY 12 and 13, the Senate cut county aids and credits by $13.8 million more than the House, and we cut city aids and credits by $12.7 million less than the House, because we made sure that the total cuts were right around $100 million for each of those two jurisdictions. Another change that is different in the Senate is that the Senate repealed the cuts that were made in another division for payments in lieu of taxes for fiscal years 11, 12, and 13, and we added to the county aid and credit reductions to balance out these costs. So that represents the $872,000 difference in fiscal year 11. And on the,
if I might add, the House members would see that on the House spreadsheet reflected in the market value credits for counties. And so that has been separate out as somewhat in a different presentation as we had seen it on the House side.
And on Mr. Mossman's overall spreadsheet, you see that there's a difference between the House and the Senate in this area, and that basically reflects the buyout of the PILT reductions. Another item that the Senate has that the House does not is that the Senate repays the unallocation of aid to the City of Houston with a one-time adjustment to the city aid base of $106.9 million.
in 2011. And the Senate also extends the deadline for the Local Government Aid Study Group to December 15, 2012, which is 1 year later than is in 2 years later than, thank you, Senator Bach, than is in current legislation, because we didn't feel that we could be studying local government aid at a time when we're going through such drastic reductions. And that summarizes the changes in the tax aids and credits section.
Okay, are there questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Beamer.
Can staff just explain the number three, the final allotment aid for the city of Houston? I don't.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paymar, the governor's unallotment was based on population, and for cities with a population of less than $1,000, they were spared any unallotment.
Some people, you mean?
People.
Pardon me?
1,000.
Oh, 1,000, or 1,000 in population.
In population.
I'm sorry. Okay. And the population figures that were used were 2007, and when the 2008 figures came out, the city had was above or had fallen below 1,000
by about four people.
By about four people, and so it was. This was an. This is the only city that got caught in that population loophole, and so the Senate is repaying their unallotment. Mr.
That
Chair,
was one of the hardest hit cities of, as a result of the flood, if I recall.
Mr. Chair, in the House, Representative Pulaski's bill, House File 2773, currently awaiting a hearing in the Property Tax Division. I've got a revenue estimate, and it literally says, it sounds like one family moved and this placed them below the threshold of 1,000, but I have that estimate if someone would like to see it.
So with all that happened, they lost one family then, is what?
Looks like it.
Mm-hmm. We did Capital Investment Committee toured there, and it was really hard hit by the flood, a lot of damage.
Representative Carlson, the issue,
Senator Bach,
was just the date that the governor used to base the population numbers on. And on the census date that they used for the population numbers, the city had 1,003 people or 1,004 people, when in actuality, when the unallotments were done, the new census would have indicated that they were less than 1,000 people. So,
and having seen what happened down there, I think they probably deserve a little extra help.
Well, and Representative Carlson, there's not a cost to this. We're actually just redistributing some of the money in the existing LGA formula. So statewide, this burden will be picked up by all the rest of us by 106,000 or whatever the number is. Is it just redistributes in the existing formula?
Okay.
Senator Cohen. Well, Mr. Chairman, I mentioned a few minutes ago that we had Senator Higgins and Representative Paymar. Obviously, we've got the tax chairs on this conference committee as well, matching up because of the inclusion of the tax article. And would defer to Senator Bach. Obviously, Representative Lanchesky is chairing her committee right now. But obviously, a significant difference between governor and legislature is the governor takes a significant amount of additional aids and credits reductions than the legislature does. Obviously, in terms of our target figure for the finance end of it, we align with the governor in terms of dollar amounts. For both the House and the Senate are about $208 million, putting aside how we get to that figure. But obviously, there's a significant difference in the tax end of it. And I'm not sure if that discussion takes place here or someplace else. But
Representative Carlson, Senator Cohen, I had a discussion with Commissioner Innes and Commissioner Hansen about 6 o'clock tonight about that very issue. So trying to make a little headway on the difference in the target between the House, Senate, and the governor.
And Mr. Chairman, this might be unfair of me, but I don't serve on the tax committee, so I don't serve on the tax conference committee, but I noted Ms. Schill's editorial comment about how the bills were remarkably the same. I don't know if you wanted to comment on, was that because they by coincidence were the same, or was that the question of personalities involved, or you don't necessarily have to comment, but if you could help me as to why they're remarkably the same, I'd be curious.
Mr. Chair, all of those reasons.
Okay, all right. So maybe I want to serve on the Tax Committee and find out why that was a striking statement.
On this side of the table, four of us serve on the Tax Committee.
Oh, well, then I shouldn't put the staff on the spot. I should maybe ask the conferees.
Okay, no other further questions. And the governor's numbers, I think everybody knows, something like 238, if I recall correctly. And it's on the list here. Senator Cohen.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we met earlier today. We had some discussion of how we'd like to proceed.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment quickly?
Senator Murphy.
It looks like the AMC is passing out paperwork here. Can we just keep all that paperwork from the lobbyists and organizations off the table? We've got enough here to look at. I'm just curious.
Okay, point well taken. I think they can probably maybe distribute the information to our offices if that's
better spot.
Is that what people would prefer? Okay. This one is out now, but okay. For those in the audience, you heard the request, and information is probably helpful. You probably would do just as well if it were distributed to the members' offices. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I was saying, we met earlier today. We talked about a schedule for this conference committee and how we'd like to proceed. We're on a relatively fast timeline, and we are hoping, you know, the directive to Representative Carlson and myself is that we get the conference committee report voted on the floor of the House and the Senate on Monday before the break. Obviously, we want to make sure, if we can, to not have staff have to sit here all night Sunday or all night Saturday to put the bill together. So we're going to try to see what we can do, because the difference between the House and the Senate are not huge. I think, Mr. Chairman, it'd be a fair statement. We had a good meeting earlier today with Commissioner Hansen and other members of the administration in a general way, where we think maybe we can reach some agreement. So we're hoping to possibly finish this bill by the end of the week. We want to make sure that there's enough time, or some time, for the respective division chairmen to work with each other to make recommendations to the full conference committee relative to their articles in the bill. So the intent right now is to not have the conference committee meet tomorrow night, but to allow that meeting time for the division chairs from the House and the Senate to work with each other in terms of promulgation of recommendations to the conference committee. I think we sent out, Ms. Babine, I think you sent out, or we sent out an email, I guess, under my signature, but to our chairman in terms of getting together tomorrow afternoon relative to targets, and then have everybody work on those figures. There is the issue to be resolved between the House and the Senate relative to language in the bill, and we'll have to have some discussions about that probably first thing in the morning. So the suggestion that you and I talked about, Mr. Chairman, was that we would meet at the call of the chair on Thursday. If we have the opportunity to meet, before session, we'll do that, but certainly would expect a long night on Thursday evening.
Okay. And with that, any questions? And the division chairs have been, some of whom are on the committee here, but are aware that we've asked that dialogue to begin and decisions to be made relative to the divisions. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a request for Mr. Marks, our nonpartisan staff, is that on the summary sheet we have a total revenues changes provision, and I think that some members may be mistaken in thinking, certainly no one here, but other members may be mistaken in thinking that those are changes in law that result in government getting more revenue. In fact, a lot of those are transfers. And would it be possible to maybe have that category broken into two categories, changes in laws that raise revenue versus those that are just transfers? Is that an option?
Mr. Marks, do we have that yet?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, I think we need to take a look at that. It's not always the category here is additional revenue to the general fund. As to whether it's a, it'll take a little work. We can probably do it.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to be a burden on staff. They've got enough going on. But if maybe, even if we just had a rough ballpark figure, because I think some members of my caucus are mistaken in the belief that the House bill, when it raises $100 million in revenue, is actually additional fees or the mutual fund tax, and that's just not an accurate, that's not an accurate number. So that would be helpful if possible. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's a helpful suggestion. And when we talk about fee increases and transfers, although the pots of money are different, the governor's at about 90 and we're about 98 on the House side, and I guess it's on the sheet here as to where the Senate was, but they're relatively close on that as well, 96. So, but how that breaks out is what you're asking, and we'll see if they can put that together for us then. Okay, any other questions before we adjourn? And then Senator Cohen will be in the chair on Thursday, so it'll be at the call of the chair on Thursday. With that, meeting adjourned.